Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be back for this hour. I've been looking forward to this hour. What would Monica do? That's the name of a new book from Ascension Press. And the Monica in that title is St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, and famous for her many prayers and efforts to bring her son into the communion of the Catholic Church. And then Augustine went on to be just about the best of us that ever lived. I mean, he's pretty much in the top 10 Catholics on everybody's top 10 Catholics list. I don't know if that is actually a list like that, but you know what I'm saying. So Monica is the one we think of, those of us who have adult children who are in need of some prayers and some efforts on our part to bring them back into the church. Maybe you are, and maybe you'd like to call and talk about that. We've got two great guests for you to call and talk with if you'd like to. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're going to be talking all about helping adult children back into the church and also avoiding maybe some of those things that happen that lead the younger ones to leave the church when they become a bit older. 888-318-7884. The authors of the book, What Would Monica Do?, available now from Ascension Press, are Patty McGuire Armstrong. She's the host of the TV talk show Ladies of Another View. She's an award-winning author and journalist. She was the managing editor and co-author of Ascension Press's best-selling Amazing Grace series, which I'm sure many of you read one or more of. Patty Armstrong, thanks for being here with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
And congratulations on the new book.
Well, thanks. We're excited.
Roxanne Solonen is the other author of the book. She's an award-winning children's author and freelance writer, Catholic radio host, and speaker. Roxanne, thank you for being here with us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
You're both moms, and usually I don't delve into the parental status of the authors we have on, but this is important because you have adult children of your own. Is that what led you to write this book, What Would Monica Do?
It sure is. No other reason, yeah.
Yeah, so you ended up talking with each other about this problem, this situation that many of us face.
Right. Roxanne, why don't you go ahead and explain how our friendship blossomed into commiserating and praying together?
Sure. And maybe I'll start with the subtitle, which is kind of long, but it's What Would Monica Do? Consolation, Hope, and Inspiration in the Spirit of St. Monica for Those Bearing the Cross of a Loved One Who is Away from the Faith. This is the book that no parent ever wants to write, but what happened is Patty and I both live in North Dakota. I live on one side of the state near Fargo, near the Minnesota border. She lives over in Bismarck. That's where my mom lives. We discovered each other about 10 years ago through an article that someone wrote Catholic moms. And so we realized, oh, there's another Catholic mom writer in North Dakota. We're kind of a small state. So we got together when I went to visit my mom in Bismarck, and we ended up starting a friendship that had a lot of conversations, a lot of prayers, a lot of shared sorrows and griefs, as well as joys about our family life, shared privately in prayer. And one of the topics that kept evolving and coming out more and more was the fact that some of our children had become disillusioned with the faith. And Patty and I have 15 children between us, so it was a big loss for us. Yeah. It was something that we wanted more than anything in the world was for our children to get to heaven rather than Harvard, you know. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of parents going through this, and it was a scary thing to broach out in the open, but we decided we wanted to do it because we wanted to bring others into that circle and travel with Monica as we did and get hope from that journey.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I have to say that one thing you just said there, I think there's a lot of us who mostly suffer in silence with the child or children who are not practicing the faith. What's your sense of why we do that?
Well, we know a lot of people in the Catholic media. We know exactly why they do that, because people might figure, huh, you know, here they are. They have this ministry, or they are a Catholic writer, and they didn't even raise their own kids to follow the faith. So I think I'll go listen to somebody that had better results. So that's why people are quiet. It's painful. It's private. And, you know, like in my situation, some of the kids have practiced the faith beautifully as they raise their families. But I don't have 100%, and I'm not giving up. We want 100% in this regard because, you know, it's what we want most for our children. We want them to embrace the faith, end up in heaven. And so it's hard. And, And especially if you go to church and somebody has all their kids and, you know, and their grandkids, and they're all in lockstep, you know, they love the faith too. It's a heavy heart. It's a heavy burden to carry. But what a lot of people don't understand is that St. Monica, she's our go-to saint, because she prayed for St. Augustine for 17 years. And like you said, he's like one of the top Catholics. After St. Paul, he's considered, you know, the top evangelizer of the Catholic faith. And she prayed for him for 17 years. He did convert in a big way, but she had two other children who never left the faith. And most people don't even know about those other two children, but we know about St. Augustine.
Right. I didn't know about the other two.
Yeah.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Maybe you never did this, but I have asked myself, what did I do wrong? Neither of you ever did that.
I used to think that was a silly question before my kids started leaving the faith. Like, I would hear other parents say, what have I done wrong? And I thought, well, we're doing the best we can. But when our children started becoming, well, they started using their free will, I guess, and having minds of their own, and it was hard. And yes, you do wonder. And we were imperfect, and our lives are messy, and we probably did make a few mistakes. And, you know, that's one of the things we bring up in the book, is there might be a need to kind of revisit some things and ask forgiveness and have those conversations as they become adults. But we also can't beat ourselves up over the head over this. A priest, I think it was, recently told me that we can't take credit for the best things our children do, and that we can't take credit for the worst things. You know, it's somewhere in the middle. Yes, we've contributed, we've done the best, but there's God's grace and there's free will. And those things all interplay with a culture, by the way, that is very, you know, against our faith right now. We're in a tough situation, and I think it hit a lot of us sideways, because it's something that's really emerged in the last 20 years or so, where the culture really is antagonistic against us. So we have a lot. It's not just us. We can't bear this alone on our shoulders. And Patty and I discovered a camaraderie with each other and a safe place to bring these concerns, and we want others to know they're not alone too, because God doesn't want us to be alone. He's a relational God, and he wants us to build each other up, hold each other up, and give each other hope.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. You are welcome to call. I have to say, and I'm sure both of you, having worked in Catholic media, have a similar experience, but in my experience, you know, working for a Catholic radio network, for example, when people would call and we'd say, you know, call and ask for prayers and we'll pray for you, or we would share the prayers with sisters who lived in a monastery and they would pray for listeners. By far the most common prayer that people would call about is, my children are not living the faith, or my child has left the practice of the faith, doesn't believe in the Catholic faith, that kind of thing. I guess that is probably your experience too, that this is just for people of a certain age, you know, people, those of us old enough to have adult children, this is just an extremely common thing.
We're hearing a lot of it from priests who's, you know, it is like, I think it's the most common thing. That's what we're hearing, is it's the number one prayer intention, and you are kind of confirming that. And I want to say that kind of based on your last question, too, I want to add to that, is that we have a lot of priests in our diocese. In the Bismarck Diocese is an amazing, amazing place. Just, we have a lot of young priests, real dynamic Catholic churches here. Some of the Catholic priests' parents didn't even go to Mass. I was listening to one speak once, and I said, okay, Father, that is no fair. Like, I did everything I could, and your parents didn't even try, and look what happened. I mean, I said that jokingly, sort of, but the thing is I thought I had plugged all the holes, and I got great results. I mean, I had two boys in college. One had just graduated from high school, one was in college, and they went to a retreat with two priests that they loved. So I wasn't the least bit worried about anybody leaving the faith. But, you know, life happens, and I hope, I don't want to say, hey, just wait, it could happen to you. I hope it never happens to anybody. But brace yourself, stay humble, recognize that we're not in control. One of our chapters is, worry is not a prayer. Maybe we did some things wrong. Of course we did some things wrong, because we're not perfect. But so did a lot of other people, and we have to just let that go, turn it over to God, turn our children over to God, And that's really the biggest message of the book is, you know, make amends, say you're sorry, go to confession. And now let's go deeper in our own faith and recognize all that control we thought we had. We actually didn't have all that control. And so we're just going to put our, what we do have control over is our own faith life. And the best way we can help our children is to go deeper into our own faith.
Oh, we got to talk about that a bit. Oh, I have to take a break, but we'll talk about that when we come back. Patty Armstrong and Roxanne Salonen are our guests. They're the author of a brand new book from Ascension Press, which they've been doing lots of interviews, lots of people talking about this book. And I know why, because, well, first of all, it's the perfect time of year for it. I know that many parents will want to get this book before Christmas when the kids come home, or maybe before Thanksgiving when the kids come home, get some tips, get some pointers, get some ideas and help. You can do that, or you can just call the authors up right now and ask them whatever question you'd like. 888-318-7884. Got to take a quick break. Right back with more on What Would Monica Do? Right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
We should pray because prayer is conversation with God, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship. We need that relationship with God. We should pray and talk with God about what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, what's active in our lives, the joys we have. We should share all of these with God. Prayer is conversation, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship with God. It's the most important relationship. All of our other relationships depend on this one.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. So happy to be getting to talk to the authors of this wonderful new book, What Would Monica Do? From Ascension Press. Roxanne Salonen and Patty Armstrong are our guests. All about the experience of, the grief of, the suffering that comes from the adult child who is not practicing the faith, but not just a sad book, a book of full of hope and actually with some tasks to do too. And you say the most important thing I should do is live my faith, work on my faith. How can that be?
That's one of them. You know, talking about leading up to the holidays too, another one we can do is we can live a robust Catholic life. We can draw closer to the Lord, give our fears and our hopes, our anxieties to Him. Remember that we gave our children to Him in baptism, and that we trust Him to continue to guide them when we can't be with them, to surrender every day. We're proponents of the surrender novena, Patty and I, and it's something we live with. And at the end of that novena, it says, Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. We can insert our children's names into that. Jesus, I surrender Mike to you, take care of everything. And then we have to believe it. And then we have to live a joy-filled Catholic life. We don't have to compromise our faith. We don't have to take down our crucifixes when our kids come over. We don't have to stop saying grace at the table, even if they might not join us. And maybe they will, or maybe they won't this time, but maybe they will another time. Maybe something's going to happen during that meal where we're all gathered at the table saying grace and having a nice family conversation that is going to ignite something, and they're going to remember something from their childhood. We don't know. We have to let God take over their souls, know that He works quietly and in hidden ways. It's not always what we're seeing. They're trying to work things out on their own, like the prodigal son. He had to go away and figure it out for himself. And we have to be the loving parents waiting for them to when they return. And again, to live that joy-filled family life, that is going to do more than any kind of debate or anything that's going to make them feel more repelled.
Yeah, I can. I love that idea of surrender. But what about this anxiety of, you know, like you said, it took 17 years for Augustine to come back to the faith. Well, I know that there's a lot of suffering involved in that. I don't want that for them. I want them joyfully back in the arms of the Lord. Like, I don't want that. So I'm not doing this right, I guess.
We all want that. We don't want to see our kids suffer, but we got to rethink it a little bit. We need to see any kind of suffering of my kids that are away. If something goes wrong, I think maybe this is it. Of course, I'm praying for them. I'm comforting them. Like, I care if something goes wrong, but I'm also seeing there could be something bigger going on here, that maybe this is going to lead them back to God. And so don't be so resistant to God's plan. By your surrendering, you're going to trust whatever's going to happen. You can't put parameters on it. You can't say, God, this is how I want this to unfold. This is the way it's going to happen. You can't give them a deadline. You can't say, and by the way, no suffering. Like, we know whenever we experience it ourselves, you know, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way, right?
Sometimes
it's the hard way, but better that way than no way at all. And when our kids are causing us the suffering, you know, we talk about, you know, Mary's heart was pierced by a sword. We cause that suffering. Her heart was pierced because of our sins, you know, and we're experiencing pain because of our kids. We don't need to waste that. That whatever is coming at us to make us feel bad, give it back to them. That is truly defeating the devil in a big way. I interview exorcists every once in a while, and I know that you got to stay away from anger. That gives the devil a foothold. You need to forgive, but there's power in that. We are defeating what the devil intended for bad. Now, if you're disagreeing on the faith, very likely there might be some conflict. There might be some arguments, some divisiveness. Don't let the devil win. Keep things you're sorry, you know, that you shouldn't have said, tell them you're sorry, go to confession. But keep remembering, feel that love for your children, give that pain, unite it with Jesus for your child. We have a chapter that says it's not all bad. You know, there's a lot of power in what we're going through right now.
We do have some folks on the line, but we'll get to you in the minute. But there's also a couple lines open if you'd like to call and ask your question. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. How shall I put this? Not always do spouses see eye to eye on all of this. Have you considered that in your What Would Monica Do book?
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually have a chapter called Unequally Yoked. And of course, when we looked, and one of the reasons we wanted to research Monica a little bit more is we all know that she helped her son come back to the faith through her prayers and such, but we don't know a lot about the rest of her life. She did have a very difficult husband who was a pagan for most of their lives, a cantankerous mother-in-law who lived with them, who wasn't very kind to her, to Monica. And so she had a lot of adversity, right, in her life. And yet she took all of the good that God had given her in the grace and used it. A lot of people knew her as, even out in the community, she like helped the poor and she just was always drawing people. But her husband was not on board. He was not necessarily kind to her, but through her kindness and persistence in her kindness at home, even as Augustine was away from the faith, she drew Patricius, I'm not sure how to say his name, but she drew him back and she drew him into God's heart. And ultimately he converted along with his mother. So, but yes, that is a very hard thing. My husband's a convert. And so there was some early years where I was kind of doing the spiritual leading, I guess, and I didn't want that role. And so, you know, I think those things, it's different now. He's right on board with me and he's leading the way and it's wonderful, but it took a while to get there. So yes, and there's other people that we have stories. We have a lot of stories in our book. There's from a single mom who was abandoned by her husband when she was pregnant with her fifth child and how she's dealt with that, because there's wounds in our culture and in our family. And that's one of them, is trying to do it on your own. That can really be difficult, whether you're divorced or single or just not in the same place. You have a different faith, or someone's not practicing and the other one is. There's so many situations, and it's a heartache for that parent that's kind of left out in the cold to do it on their own. And that's where God comes in, because we all have God the Father to be the leader, the spiritual leader in our, and so it's just little reminders like that to let people know that there's little things we can tap into, and always to have that eternal view in mind. We always have to keep in mind of the eternal view.
888-318-7884. You did talk about anger and that Patty, you were saying about, you know, that's something you've learned from talking with exorcists, that anger is not going to help this situation. Have either of you ever had this experience? I'm not saying that I have, but I'm not saying I haven't either, where the biting comment is made about some moral issue or religious issue that the child knows your view on, and you know you're being pricked for some response. Has that ever happened to you, and how do you handle something like that?
Oh, you know, I don't know how you wouldn't have that happen, because the kids think they found a better way.
Okay, yeah.
They've thrown off the shackles. They are no longer oppressed with this religion. But if you're loving and joyful, I mean, I have a child who said, I respect who you are. Like, you guys, you live the faith. You didn't. I mean, he went from that to, like, he thinks we're making the world a worse place now for that same faith. And I have another son who said, Mom and Dad didn't change. You did. They're the same people you used to admire for their faith.
Yeah.
And now, like, now they're the bad people for their faith. So your kids are going to do that because they think they found a better way. And they are kids in rebellion, you know, just like Adam and Eve and, you know, anybody who steps away from the faith. And that's why we've got some stories in the book. And we have real life people like us who are ongoing stories, but we have saint stories. We have, I don't know if you've ever heard of Saint Bartolo Longo, who was a Satanist who came from a Catholic family. And his conversion was so complete. He built a basilica. He's a saint now. And a lot of you are familiar with Father Don Calloway.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
He's written up in the first Amazing Grace book. I found him. He was a seminarian, and I found a little blurb he had written that he had dropped out of school, and now he's going to be a priest. And I thought, but there's a story behind here. My goodness, there's a story. I was on the phone with him for 4 hours, and if you've ever read his book, it's like when I see him, I've told him, Father, I don't think there's anybody that could have been worse than you. And I think that's why God picked you up and helped you with your conversion, led you to his blessed mother, because nobody can say, yeah, but my son's worse. Like, no, he couldn't be worse than Father Calloway. And here's the beautiful thing. So I took that story in that interview. And I mean, it's just like, you can't believe it. He got kicked out of the country of Japan, and he just did everything wrong I think you could do. But we also interviewed his mother, because she was in the Amazing Grace for Mother's book. And so we have her mother's heart and how she prayed for her son, and how, so we've got these beautiful happy ending conversions as well as these ongoing stories, because we're all in this together. And that's kind of what Roxanne and I, that was our starting point, was journeying together. And we have a Facebook page, Catholic Parents, What Would Monica Do? It's a private group. And there's a lot of people that are coming there with all kinds of sufferings and pains. And it's a private group. So we aren't on display for people, but we're comforting one another. And it's a place they can go to have healing. And I mean, there's everything from same sex and transgender confusion and ostracizing families and parents who haven't seen their grandkids. So there is a lot of pain, but we want to keep going back to the joy of our faith too.
And you manage it. The book is What Would Monica Do? It's available. I would give you the subtitle, but it's a chapter, basically. They wrote a chapter of the book for the subtitle. So I'm not going to give you that, but you can find it from Ascension Press. 888-318-7884 is the number here. I've kept Marcia in Indianapolis waiting for a little while. You both okay if we take a call? And
Okay. Love it.
Marcia in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on our app, the Catholic Answers Live app. You are up next, Marcia. Go ahead with your question for Patty and Rachel.
Ooh. Hello. Hi. Thank you. My name's pronounced Marcia, but that's okay. A lot of people say Marcia.
Well, that's all right. I just called Roxanne Rachel. So I don't know. I got a little confused about all the names there. So.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those nights. It's a Friday night. Okay, so Patty and Roxanne, I am very happy to hear about your book, What Would Monica Do? I'm still struggling with the fact that my boys have both gone away from the Catholic faith, and my husband and I raised them in the Catholic faith, and I taught CCD, and, you know, we did things in the home to help them understand what our Catholic faith was all about. And then when they were both in high school, and it was a private Catholic high school, they decided that one decided he was agnostic and the other decided he was atheist. And they didn't tell us until, you know, they went through the motions of going to church with us sometimes. And they didn't say anything until each of them had their senior retreat. And it came out then that they were no longer, they no longer wanted to be a practicing Catholic. And, talk about Mary's heart being pierced. I had a little bit of that feeling because I cried for about 2 years.
Marcia, I don't know if you can hear the music's playing, but we have to take a break. So we'll get a response from Patty and Roxanne when we come back. Catholic Answers Live, your calls welcome. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whywearepro-life.com.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And we have two very fine guests with us, Patty Armstrong and Roxanne Salonen, sometimes called Rachel, sometimes called Roseanne. People just throw different names on her. They have this this new book from Ascension Press, What Would Monica Do? And it's very timely. As a matter of fact, I'd say the time arrived a decade ago for this book, but it has arrived now. And it's about this phenomenon that many, many, many Catholic parents are going through. The kids seem fine. They seem to be growing up in the faith. But at some point, some other switch gets turned on and they move in that direction. And our caller, Marcia from Indianapolis, is telling a story that's, I think, very familiar to many parents. I didn't know that they were losing their faith. They had already decided and kind of went along with it in the family for years before I knew. Marcia, I'm going to come back to you. If you want to ask a question, go ahead and form it into a question, and we'll get an answer from Patty and Roxanne.
Yes. Well, I'd like to know, besides prayer and, you know, suggesting books to read or sending podcasts from Father, you know, sermons from Father Mike or something like that. What else can a parent do to try to help their child to convert or revert to Catholicism?
Well, I think one of the things I just want to say, I'm so sorry, because I know the hurt that this has caused you. It is a deep hurt, and it is a real grief. And so I just want you to know that you're not alone, and I know you know that. But just know that Patty and I are with you, and we're praying for you, and we will continue to do that. We know you by name now, and God knows you by name. I know that it can seem like we want to do, you know, cross off the list, do A, B, and C, and have some real tangible things to do. If you do this and this and this, it's going to work out. And now we did all those things and it didn't work out. So it's really hard to come up with a list of tangibles, although Patty has some really good ideas from the fasting perspective. Patty, why don't you share a little bit about from like the Holy Hacks kind of idea? Because you have some really good...
Oh, thank you. Thank you for mentioning Holy Hacks, because that was my previous book. It's Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. And it's about walking... living the life that you're living now, but finding ways to live it in a deeper way. I'll just give you a quick one of my favorites. You know, like if somebody gives you a gift, every time you use that gift, say a prayer for that person. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, here, like, hold, pause, would pray for that person right away, because you just are taking an opportunity. Jesus made a deal with us. The measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. So pray for that person. Give them undeserved mercy, and you're going to have it heaped on you. There's so many ways to live our faith in a deeper way. Humility is one. So both Roxanne and I both have a chapter and talk about humility. That is so powerful. It's such a key. Fasting. Both my Holy Hacks book and this one. And both books have a chapter on spiritual warfare, because there's so many things at our fingertips. This is spiritual warfare. It is. And we don't want to get tripped up. We don't want to have the devil, you know, taunting us, getting, triggering us to anger. And Marcia, one of the things you said, what else I can do? I'm going to tell you what St. Ambrose told St. Monica. He said, talk less to your son about God and talk more to God about your son. And Roxanne and I were asked once, once they put up a wall, and we start pushing, how far do we push? And I said, no. If you're pushing, you're doing it wrong. We had to learn the hard way. We get it. You know, we sent those articles, and I thought they were fine receiving those articles. I didn't know it was making them angry, and they're not reading those articles. And it's like, okay, you've got to try. You got to at least try. But once you start seeing that wall going up, back off. Not only are you wasting your time, you might be doing more damage than good. And so take it to God. I want to say one other thing that really, really touched me, and is in the book, and it's always in my heart. I only watch Father Grischel's EWTN Sunday evening show. I had it on for maybe 10 minutes ever. I was going somewhere. I put the TV on. But that has stayed with me forever, because it was a show on agnostics and atheists. And somebody had called in, and they were praying for somebody who had no faith. And he said, I've been praying for a long time, and I don't see any difference at all. I don't see any effect my prayer is having on this person. And Father Grischel said, God will administer the graces, at which time they will do the greatest amount of good. And I thought, wow, that is like a very powerful statement. And one time I was praying for two of our children, and I, before the Blessed Sacrament, and I thought, well, now how long is this going to take anyways? You know, like I've been praying for a while, and I don't want it to take 17 years.
Right.
And I felt God saying to me in a big, powerful way, because I never thought of this before, and I really felt like he was speaking to me. And he was saying, your prayers are a net, and when they come back, they won't come back alone. I thought, wow, that is like powerful, that my prayers are a net, and I don't know when or how. But like Father Grischel said, when they come back, they're going to be on fire, and we're shoring up these graces, and we don't have a deadline for God. Like, okay, God, it's been a year, it's been 2 years. And I want to say quickly that I didn't used to like St. Monica's story at all. I totally ignored it, and I thought it was a terrible story. 17 years and you get one conversion out of it? Like, seriously? Like, I want to set the world on fire. I don't have time. If you only get one conversion after praying, and she's a saint. So I didn't like that story. But on the Feast of St. Augustine, our pastor at the time, Father Kramer, said, do you realize that Saint Augustine and Saint Monica, they lived in the 4th century. He converted in the 4th century, and his books are still in bookstores today. All of a sudden, I realized, oh my gosh, how can one mother's prayers be so powerful that Saint Augustine has touched all of Christendom for, what, over 1,600 years? He has taught, I might not have my math right, but approximately, because he became a Christian long before the church split. So anybody who's Christian respects and listens to St. Augustine. And so when you think about the prayers of one mother having that kind of effect, it really opened up my eyes. And I'm not counting the prayers. I'm not counting the days. I'm just praying and giving it all I've got and giving it all to God.
That is such a wonderful way of looking at it when you think about that, that the St. Monica's prayers, yeah, one conversion, but one conversion changes the whole world, the whole history of the world. And every single one of them does that. We just won't know about a lot of them until we see the Lord on the other side and he explains it to us. Marcia, I hope that was helpful for you. I'd love to send you a book called Why We're Catholic. And because I have this strategy of just leaving books around and magazines around. And I hope somebody will be visiting sometime and go, you know, oh, let me pick that up and take a look. If you'd like to try that strategy, I don't know if that's a good strategy or not. I can tell you right now, it hasn't worked yet. But I just leave them around and maybe somebody will pick them up and look at them. And Why We're Catholic might be one you'd like to leave around. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I said at the beginning that I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time because this is one of the questions that we wish we could answer, you know, that we wish that we could, because we get it so often and you often feel helpless, whether you're the parent or whether you're the person the parent is asking for help. Patty Armstrong and Roxanne Salonen have written a very fine book called What Would Monica Do? And it will help. It will help. I'm sure it will help. If you'd like to ask them a question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We'll take a very quick break, and we'll be right back to continue the conversation. Phone lines are lighting up, but there are some lines open. 888-318-7884. And when I come back, I'll go right to calls. I won't monopolize our guests any longer. Catholic Answers Live, more right after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
What have you always wanted to know about the Vatican? Well, I'm your Vatican Insider, and I answer that question when I bring you the news about the Pope, Vatican City, and I share insights and stories from a broad spectrum of church ministries.
Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Patty Armstrong and Roxanne Salonen are our guests, and we're talking about their new book, What Would Monica Do? You can call and ask your questions. Part of the idea of the show today is that Thanksgiving is next week. Maybe you'll be around family again. Maybe those wounds will get scratched again, or maybe there'll be opportunities as well. So we wanted to make sure we had an opportunity to kind of think this through and give you the best thinking and practices that our guests have come up with for the book. So you're welcome to call and ask your questions. 888-318-7884 is the number. I said I'd go back. I'd go straight to the callers, and I'm going to keep that word. Is there anything that either of you need to say before I go back to the callers, or are you ready to go back to the callers?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right. We'll go to Regina in Colfax, Illinois, listening on 89.5 FM. Regina, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Patty and Roxanne.
So if you have adult children who you've raised Catholic, and they have children of their own, and they have chosen not to have them baptized and don't have not raised them in the faith, what would be the best way to handle that?
Roxanne, do you want me to go? Because I have kids,
yeah,
with grandkids.
Drama.
Okay.
And we do cover that in the book, because that is a huge... The person I'm at her house right now is in that situation. We were just talking about it a little bit ago. So it is a heartache as well, deeply. Go ahead, Patty. Grandma.
Well, I can't... You have to realize we don't have solutions to everything except to give them over to God. And that, Roxanne, you say something beautifully about... why don't you jump in about baptism? Because we had our kids baptized, and how powerful that was.
Right. I mean, when we give our kids over in baptism, it is a covenant, and God doesn't breach those. He doesn't say, "Oh, that was nice. Now I'm giving them back." So even though maybe they're not at a place, and your heart is breaking over your grandchildren, you still are forever connected by heart with your kids, and God is forever connected by your heart to your kids. He's going to honor that. And I think, again, we come back to prayer. One thing I want to say too, and I guess it's not addressing your question exactly, but it's all tied together. One of the things that's happened with my husband and I is we have grown closer through this cross. Our marriage has gotten stronger. We have come together in prayer. We pray together every night. And it's something that's come up through our shared suffering, because we both love our children and we were not expecting this. And so I think the same thing. I know that it seems maybe that prayer is not enough, but it really was enough for Monica. And in the end, God honored those prayers. It wasn't her that brought her son back to him. It was lots of different people out there that were like the St. Ambroses of the world. So I just think to turn in prayer, whether it's your children and grandchildren. And then also, I had mentioned earlier about cultivating a home of joyful Christian living. And again, just strengthening your own bond with God, spending time in adoration, praying directly by name. You can go back and find the baptismal prayer in which you insert your children's names and repeat that baptismal prayer. It is a soothing and beautiful way to remind yourself of what you did when you gave your children to God. And I think being reminded of that, and God hears our prayers. He does not turn a deaf ear. It might seem like it, but we have to believe. I mean, that's what faith is. And so I guess I just encourage you to continue turning more and more toward God and trusting him, not only with your children, but your grandchildren. Did you have anything else, Patty?
I do want to add, number one, no, you cannot baptize your grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
I know you want to, but you can't. Can't do it. Guess what? Tomorrow, we have a 2-year-old granddaughter being baptized. So,
congratulations.
I also have a son who's getting married in the church in March, and he wasn't going to church for a long time. And what I'm discovering as good things happen is that they don't just go from point A to point Z. So we have to be happy with baby steps, and that, yes, we want all our grandchildren baptized, and that's one of the hardest things. So we just have to keep praying and putting them in God's hands. And Roxanne and I just came across a story of a priest telling about these deathbed conversions, and so many of these people were not even baptized, but there was some Catholic grandma, there was somebody in the family praying for them. And so we don't know when and how, but we're just going to keep praying and trusting. And if a conversation comes up, be ready to answer, but we don't want to drive them away. And so, you know, you have to walk a fine line. You want them to know that you want that for their children, but they've already made that decision not to have it. So I guess we just keep going deeper and we keep praying. When surrender that child to the Lord and to our Blessed Mother. I mean, she is a powerhouse, and Saint Joseph, he's our Father in heaven, and he can make up for all that's lacking in our own families. And I know how you feel. I share your pain, but we just gonna look for those opportunities and keep praying.
Regina, thanks very much. I'm going to try to get everybody on, so I will continue moving. Edgar, if Regina would like it, why don't we send her The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It, Jimmy's book. And it's funny because I know that a lot of the parents don't need these books, but maybe they'll like having them around for when the kids are around. Not that we don't all need these books from time to time, but thanks, Regina. Thanks very much. Jake in Malaysia is next. So happy to get a call from Malaysia. Jake watching on YouTube. Go ahead with your question, Jake.
Hello. Good morning from Kuala Lumpur. Longtime listener since 2005. Converted in 2006. And I love what you all do for the faith.
Well, thank you.
Having said that, my brother, speaking from a sibling perspective, my brother has walked away from Christ about 10 years ago. And my parents, they have, you know, they've given him Facebook links, given him social media links, trying to, I guess, kind of bait him, if you will, into debates pertaining to Christian life, coming back to the faith. But how can I, as his brother, kind of be there for him, but also guide him back to the faith, back to Christ?
Thanks, Jake. He's not asking me, he's asking you two. So
we're not sure who it is. We always have something to say.
Okay.
That's not a problem. I just want to say this briefly, and then Roxanne, you can jump in. I have, over the years, interviewed very many people, as Roxanne has, too, because we write for the National Catholic Register and many other publications. I've interviewed people in evangelization ministries who haven't been able to convert their family. And so a lot of times they think, we've already heard everything you have to say. And just like St. Monica did not convert her son, St. Augustine, St. Ambrose did. So pray for those St. Ambroses in their life. Now, it doesn't mean brotherly love oftentimes is very powerful, because they're not as threatened to your parents. You already told me what to do when I was growing up, and I don't want to hear it. You know, I already heard it all. So you might have those opportunities. But the most you can do is live your faith and be joyful. Let him witness how joyful you are. I mean, I'm out in the world and saying God bless you to the world when it's part of my holy hacked lifestyle. You know, instead of just saying have a good day at the cashier, I'll say, God bless, thank you, God bless you. You know, just live your faith and walk with the Lord. And he's going to see, maybe not right away, but maybe when he starts feeling like there's something missing in his life, he might realize that you have something that he doesn't. And so I guess just love him, pray for that St. Ambrose in his life. And this is what I do, like whenever I take a trip somewhere and I know other people do it, and it's not even, I might just be going to a Christmas party. I ask God to decide who I sit next to and to direct our conversations. And just ask God to direct your conversation. And the way you know it's from him is you can say, okay, Lord, I don't want the wall to go up. What I'm saying isn't working. If you want me to talk about you, I'm going to trust it's going to come from you. It's going to come from him. And then I'll just go with it. And so take yourself out of the equation and let God do all the leading.
Jake, what do you think?
I'm still here.
Well, I'm okay. Was the answer acceptable to you?
It definitely was. Definitely was. I was actually writing it down as you all spoke.
And, okay.
Once again, thank you so much for what you're doing. It makes an impact globally. Lastly, I'll say how I learned about the Catholic podcast was actually on an iPod somebody gave me in 2006 in Belgium.
Isn't that funny?
So when I say you guys affect the world, you all affect the world. So thank you so much.
Jake, what a great story. Somebody gave him the iPod. And it's like the person who says, I found Catholic radio because I rented a car and it was on the Catholic radio station when I got in. Those are such great stories, Jake. And I know you're ahead of us. And thank you for not revealing what happens on Saturday morning, even though you've already experienced it, Jake, on the other side of the dateline. The number here is 888-318-7884. We'll try to get you on. If you call, we have Patty Armstrong and Roxanne Salonen with us. They have the new book, What Would Monica Do? And it's about dealing with and finding some ways to work with the child who has left the faith, the adult child in particular who has left the faith, but not only the adult child. I mean, one of the things, I'm coming to you, Jennifer, in Colorado, but one of the things that's quite shocking is how young children are leaving the faith now because of what they see on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can apply this book at any age. So, yeah.
Jennifer in Colorado listening on the app. Thanks for downloading the Catholic Answers app onto your phone, Jennifer. Go ahead with your question.
Well, my question is actually related to what you just said, Cy. I have a 17-year-old daughter who's been very influenced by popular culture in the secular world. And so she's just really turned away from faith and said she's not even sure if she believes in God. And I can just see when I used to require her to go to Mass, but she would just sit there so stone-faced and so stoic. And so what I've done is kind of gone backwards a little bit, and I require her to watch Mass online with me in the hopes that, well, one, she seems to be a little bit more open to that. And sometimes we've had some discussions about what the readings have been. But I guess my concern is that I'm lowering the bar too much. And like, what is my parental obligation? I mean, she is 17. She's still living in my house. I'm not sure what my obligation is or if I'm just kind of settling and going along to get along with her more. I'd really appreciate any insights.
All right, Jennifer, thanks.
Yeah, I would, as long as she's under your roof, I would continue to insist. I know that that's a hard word, insist, but yeah, I would have her go to Mass as long as she's under your roof. As long as she's in your home, you have some spiritual authority over her as her parent, and that's going to be short. I mean, she's 17, so she's almost out into the world. So, but you know what? It's not too late. I would say it's not too late. She's 17. I have a 17-year-old at home too. This is our time. I've been having some deep discussions with my 17-year-old who's been questioning a lot of things, and it's been great. He's still open to that. So I find hope in the fact that she's willing to talk about it. But I think it's okay to say, you know, I thought it would be okay to stay home, but I really, Jesus in the Eucharist is something that we can't replicate at home, and his grace is for you, and he wants to draw you closer, and as long as you're here, we will go to Mass on Sunday or Saturday night. I would really encourage that.
I have a suggestion on, since you already let her do it, and there might be some resistance, just say, you know, obviously, you're troubled that she doesn't seem to be getting anything out of it, but you have to answer to God. You don't have to answer to a 17-year-old. And so what you're doing the best that you can, and you're doing what you believe God wants you to. And so you do want her to come to Mass, and you hope it's going to help, and you're going to be praying for her. I mean, it wouldn't be heavy-handed. I mean, it's sad to hear that it's happening at younger and younger ages. We have an awesome Catholic school in Bismarck, St. Mary's Central High School. So our kids graduated on fire, and I figured I would listen to someone like you and go, huh, well, we don't have to worry about that. But the world is got a strong pull. And so I thought we were all set, and we weren't all set with everybody. You know, some people chose other roads. And so whether it happens when they're young or it might happen when they're older, we can never think we've got it under control. Neither can we think, oh, we blew it. You know, it's an ongoing story, and we just have to be true to our children and true to God. And so you're trying your best to do the right thing. And I wouldn't hesitate, though, to say, you know what, I got to answer to God on this one. And so we're going to have to require that you do go to Mass with us.
I wonder what your view is on this, but I wouldn't think that she would be required to go to communion just go to Mass, but it's her choice whether she wants to go to communion. Would you think that, or do you think I'm wrong on that?
Yeah, no. And we had that situation where some of our kids quit going to communion while they were under our roof. And actually, I respected that in a way, because they knew that they weren't worthy at that point. But the grace is still there. Whether they go there or not, Jesus is still there.
I can't believe the hour flew by. Jennifer, hang on. I would like to send you the book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. It's just a lovely little book, and it might make a difference for you or for someone in your family, maybe even that 17-year-old. I have to say goodbye so quick. I'm sorry, Patty Armstrong and Roxanne Solonen, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Si. We loved every minute of it.
Well, good. Congratulations on the book. It's from Ascension Press. It's called What Would Monica Do? And then it has a 37 or 40 word subtitle. You'll have to read that yourself. But get the book. This is the perfect time of year to brush up on this stuff. And that does it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.